The Dental Brief is brought to you by Omni Premier Marketing and the amazing guests who bring wisdom and advice that you can put to use to take your business and practices to the next level. Find us on Facebook and join the conversation. Get ready to grow because we are kicking off the next episode in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Dental Brief. I'm so excited to have, I think it's our third time on the program today, Dr. Susan Ebert. Say hello.
Hi there. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm fantastic. We've been talking before the program here a little bit. We never talk about the subject of the program, but we're talking about football. So it's been really fun and exciting. Just to keep people listening, I'm not going to tell anyone who we are rooting for. They're different teams, but I don't want to turn anybody off. But Dr. Ebert is rooting for Kansas City. And of course, I'm a Bills fan. So there you have it. Dr. Ebert, you're with ADA Practice Transitions, right?
I am. We actually are making the switch a little bit. We are no longer just ADA Practice Transitions. We have a whole suite of services that we're creating here at the ADA, really around the full spectrum of career.
Awesome.
So we've created a full new division devoted to career services here at the ADA.
It's fantastic. So start to finish. And I do want to say, too, that I see a bunch of chatter online about, hey, should I pay my dues here? Whether it's a local dental association or the ADA or have you. I think when people dive deep and they really see what some of these associations have to offer, there's a tremendous amount of value. I think, unfortunately, so many people just don't dive that deep in. So I do want to encourage everybody to look deep into what ADA is offering, to look at your local dental associations are offering. There's a lot more value than people typically take advantage of. So something that I wanted to put out there.
Well, I certainly appreciate the plug because being a lifelong member or a career-long member of the ADA myself, I honestly didn't really know what they did for me until I became involved in the association. And then I found out that, hey, they're helping with insurance reform. They're helping with advocacy at all levels. And now we're really taking a deep dive and focusing on what dentists actually need in the moment.
Right.
At each point in their career, starting from the time they're a D1 in school to the time they're ready to sell their practice and head off into retirement.
Yeah. And I think that's fantastic, right? Because so much has just changed. I think in our work cultures, things have changed generationally, or at least the perception. I don't think it's really changed, but I think the perception is that it's changed. So I think this is a great time for ADA to be really kind of jumping in and helping with that. Let me ask you, you know, the ADA and yourself started this, offering these new services, this new coaching, consulting in these areas for a reason. What's the main reason why you started that, right? There was a void. What was that void?
Well, I got involved because I recognized the void having worked with senior dental students and having to hear them say things like, well, I don't really know what the best fit is for me. I don't really know what to look at in a contract. I don't understand how to get started successfully in a career. And they would also say things sometimes like, I am going to hate my first couple of years in practice. And I thought, well, you're $600,000 in debt. That doesn't seem good.
Right.
You know, so I got involved personally because I really wanted to help them. I really wanted to help them get into practice successfully. So what we've done is we've just created this whole suite of services that's surrounding all of those emotionally charged moments in the dentist's career.
Yeah. And there are quite a few. And I think right now, I think one of the biggest places that people turn to, young people, old people, it doesn't matter, is the Facebook groups, right? I see just this morning, I always start my day off looking at my work day off, looking at some dental Facebook groups and kind of reading what's going on. And just this morning, I saw a couple of questions. One was about a non-compete. One was like, hey, you know, can a 20-mile non-compete that I signed 2 years ago be, can it be enforced, was a question that was put out there, which is, to me, whenever I read something like that, I'm like, hey, if you sign a contract, you should adhere to the contract. And so be careful what you sign, right? So you should keep your word. I always think, even if it's unfair, that's kind of like, it's always unfair when it's painful, right? So that's something that I kind of look at. And personally, I don't think that can be upheld. I don't think that can be enforced.
Got to tell you, that falls right in line with, we have our annual meeting coming up in Orlando here in a couple of weeks. It's October 5th through 7th. And one of the courses that I'm doing is on contracts and contract issues. And one of my biggest things is never sign something that you can't live with down the road.
Right.
And, you know, those non-competes, always a big issue. And, you know, trying to explain to people that a lot of times the dentist who's writing the, or the lawyer who's writing these non-competes is just kind of randomly picking numbers. You know, how do you address that? Maybe you should ask the question, how far do your patients travel to see you in this office?
Right.
And then negotiate your non-compete from there. Or just don't sign one.
Yeah. Or what is a non-compete? I think you can have a non-compete too. And I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but I will a little bit. But I do think you can have a non-compete that says, hey, won't solicit any patients. Won't solicit any patients or employees of the practice. And I think that's a pretty reasonable non-compete to have, right? A non-compete shouldn't mean that you're signing your ability to make a living in the community that you live in away. A non-compete shouldn't circumvent capitalism as we know it, right? Which is best products and services should win in an ideal world. So that's a good thing. Let's go back to what I was talking about this morning with what I read online. What's the dangers of getting advice on Facebook? I mean, some of this seems pretty obviously, but where have you seen this go wrong and cause problems?
One of the biggest what went wrong stories that really affected Dennis' overall career satisfaction happened because a dentist was perusing Facebook groups and listening to podcasts and getting all of their advice from these other sources instead of taking a deep dive into their own personal situation. And anyway, I was talking with this dentist mid-career who had a very large practice, I think 10 operatories, 3 associates, multiple employees. And she just didn't seem very happy to me when we were talking. And, you know, I just started talking with her a little bit. And it was funny because she said, you know, I was so happy in my 4 operatory practice where I had just myself and I had 2 employees. I went home at night and I just felt energized by the work that I had done. She said, now with all of the overhead and all of the stress and all of these things that are going on, she said, financially, I'm doing better than I've ever done in my life. And I said, well, why did you make that switch then? She said, well, you know, it got to the point where I was being told by a lot of different sources that because I'd reached a certain level of financial success and my practice was growing at this rate, I had to expand and I had to do this. She said, I wish I would have taken a closer look at what was really right for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the big dangers of listening too much to others, peers, Facebook groups, the experts. You need to make sure that, you know, taking advice is one thing, but make sure that you look at yourself and decide what's right for you.
Yep. Yep. I unfortunately in my travels have met multiple doctors. Sometimes they come to us after they've, you know, they need help with getting new patients and they come to us a year or two too late. A year after or 2 years after they did a startup, that the bank told them they'd be good, the real estate person told them they would be good, the supply company told them they'd be good, the architect, all these people told them, oh yeah, it's going to be great, it's going to be great, it's going to be great. And it wasn't great. It was great for the people who talked them into doing these types of things or didn't tell them, hey, this is going to be really hard. And start doing a startup or buying a practice isn't for everybody. It's just not. It's not. There's a lot of pain and there's a lot of headaches that go into starting and running a business, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, one of those things that you just brought up, you know, when you take over a practice, too often what I see is that the buyer never really takes a deep dive into what type of practice is it? Is it the right type of practice for me?
Right.
They look at the financials. The financials make sense. The bank says, oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll give you 100% financing. You're going to do great. No problem. And then they walk in the door and they find out that, wait a minute, this is not my style of practice, or
right,
the treatment that's been delivered really doesn't fit the treatment that I want to provide. So guess what happens, especially in an area where there's a lot of competition, the patients get confused, the staff gets confused, they walk, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. You've got to rebuild this thing from scratch.
I've seen this multiple times, again, on Facebook and groups, where a dentist buys a practice, and after a month or two, they seek out the online community for help and say, hey, this prior dentist had all this untreated work that he kept telling patients it was fine, and it wasn't fine, and didn't seem like, you know, he's too concerned about patients' payments and what have you. And now I'm having to tell every single patient that they need a significant amount of work, even though 6 months ago they were told they were fine. How do I handle this, or what do I do? And that's I'm not a dentist, as most people know, but that would scare the heck out of me if I was, right? To be in that situation where now you're giving completely different medical opinions, dental health opinions compared to the doctor that was there before. How could you avoid something like that? How could you make sure that doesn't happen?
I recommend going over at least 10 full treatment plans and charts, randomly selected in some cases, with the existing doctor and the staff. And the reason I say include the staff is because if you want that staff to stay, there are going to be differences in opinions.
Right.
Okay. And that's going to happen, especially if you've got a doctor who's much more conservative versus a doctor who's a little bit more aggressive in their treatment, or they've learned things a little bit differently. You have to create that narrative long before that first patient walks in the door seeing that new doctor. The staff needs to understand why there's going to be a change in the way treatment planning is done. But the other thing is if you can live with it, try not to make these major changes within, you know, over the first year or so.
Right.
Establish trust. Get the patient's trust first. You bought the practice because the financials were working the way it was working for the existing doctor.
Sure.
Deal with it. Live with it. And then start instituting change slowly over time. I'd never recommend making big changes all at once. And that includes in the way you treatment plan.
Yep. So just don't be a bowl in a china cabinet, right? Or in a china shop, I think is the
expression. It's so hard for dentists to not be, though.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
This is something to consider before buying a practice, right? I was on the phone with a client right before we started this, and you know, she's like, hey, I can't do an associate because I practice the way that I practice. And I don't know that I could buy an existing practice because I practice the way that I practice. And good. Recognize that. Know it. Own it. Right. We could all be more flexible. So I'm not telling people to be just rigid, but she knows that she is. And she's not going to move forward in an area and find out, you know, or compromise how she knows that she works. Right. And I think that's really smart.
I actually love her right now because I said the exact same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I graduated from dental school, and a year out of my GPR, I started my own practice, and I knew that about myself. I was like, I'm going to want to do it my way. I'm not going to want to have to deal with that whole somebody saying Dr. XYZ did it this way. So why are you not?
You know, I have another client. He's been with us for quite some time, who bought a practice from a third generation. And I think the doctor that he bought it from was in his 70s. So you can imagine how old this practice was. I think it was almost 100 years old, or really close to it, that he bought. Obviously not the same location, not the same equipment. But when we first met, he was a world dominant. I want to have 5 practices, and you know, so let's do our branding this way so that it can be, you know, flexible, and you know, we can add city names to it, and on and on and on. 2 years into practice, he's like, you know what? I love this lifestyle that I have. I work 3 days a week, 3.5 on a busy week. I spend so much time with my young child and my wife. And he's like, we're just loving this lifestyle. He's like, not going to have as big as a house as I thought, or as many houses I thought, or as nice a car, but this is what I want now. You know, it totally changed. I think making sure that you really understand that, hey, what you want and what out of life does change, right? What's important to you changes all the time, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that just goes back to my example of the mid-career dentist that ended up in a huge practice and then wasn't happy.
Right.
You know, wasn't spending the time with family. Again, you know, anytime you're looking at making a change or a career move, and I don't care what career you're in, I don't care what stage you're at, you should always take a step back and say, okay, why am I doing this?
Right.
What is my definition of success? And I always recommend that people start there.
Right. Susan, let me, going back to that, my comment about people not taking advantage of everything that some of these associations like the ADA offer. What do you think are some of the biggest things that the ADA does offer that's included in what people are paying annually now that they're not taking advantage of that they should?
I would say, you know, one of the things that the ADA really focuses on is their advocacy. We have made some huge inroads in the insurance reform fields. And so many dentists don't understand that because they're not seeing that value when they sit in their office and they're trying to get reimbursement from insurance companies.
Right.
But if we don't all band together as a profession, then we will never have the ability to get anything done
right.
when we go against the insurance companies.
And there's a lot of potential legislation that can happen or may happen in the next few years in regards to dental, right? Possibly dental. I think universal healthcare is coming at some point in this country. I definitely think it's going to happen. And is dental going to be included in that? Is it not going to be included in that? What is that going to
be? We better have a seat at the table is all I've got to say.
Right. Medicare, same thing, right? There's been conversations about dentistry being included in Medicare. And there's also conversations about Medicare going away altogether, right? So a lot is going to happen from a legislation point of view in this country when it comes to all healthcare over the next 1 to 20 years.
And the other thing I think that dentists need to realize, you know, you can go on ADA.org and you can just look at all of the free CE that's available to everybody. That's a huge bonus. And then all of the career focused resources that we have here, take a look, see what we have to offer. You might be surprised.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you this question as we kind of wrap up here. You're a young dentist. You're either just finishing dental school or you've recently finished dental school and you're trying to get some guidance and get some mentorship from someone. Turn to the ADA. I think that's a pretty good place to start. Might not be the right fit for everybody, of course. Not everything is. But how would you go about doing that, Dr. Ebert? How would you go about checking that out?
I would go to ADA.org. And reach out. They have chat boxes. There's all kinds of opportunities. And if you are an early career dentist and you're just kind of thinking, where should I best fit? Download the ADA mobile app, member app. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and download that. They have a career pathways quiz that you can take that if it's actually a lot of extensive research was done to create this particular quiz. And it shows you the career path that you would potentially be the most successful in. It gives you 3 options. And if you want to talk with somebody, actually talk with a human being on me or on my staff, then you can schedule an appointment with us, a career counseling session, so to speak. And we're happy to have that and, you know, to kind of walk you through some of these different steps that you may want to consider as you make these changes. And again, if you happen to be in Florida, you have any interest in going to Orlando, you know, October 5th through 7th, we'll be there with our annual convention. And we're going to have some Ask Me Anything sessions that are going to have some new dentist committee members. We're going to have a couple of CE courses. One of them is practice evaluation, you know, really looking at what should you look at? What type of practice is right for you? And then what about that contract? You know, don't sign something that you can't live with. So lots of things going on. And we even have kind of a virtual reality career path experience that we're hosting at SmileCon this year. So lots of really cool things going on at the ADA. And you know what? Orlando's always a fun place to go. It's not too hot this time of year.
Yeah. It's great weather this time of year, right?
Oh, yeah. And lots of cool activities this year. Lots of fun stuff.
Awesome. Dr. Ebert, one more time, I'm going to give us the website. It's ADA.org for those that don't know. And thank you so much for sharing with our audience and us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Patrick. It's always a pleasure.